Please be seated. Today, we are celebrating two baptisms, welcoming Michael and Cecilia into the family of God. And on this same day, we are observing the feasts of All Saints and All Souls, when we remind ourselves of just how big and weird that family is. Well, just to be clear, when I say weird, I am not talking about the Smith and Blanco families, but God's family. And Lord knows I don't intend any disrespect to the holy people who have taken the path before us. I mean for us to see how surprising that path is and how odd is the collection of people on it with us. All Saints, officially, is not about our beloved, intimate dead. It's about all the saints and martyrs, known and unknown to us, who, in their idiosyncratic ways, somehow exemplified in a special way holiness. All those martyrs and monks and solitaries and bishops and holy fools and theologians who were somehow mad for God, whose love for Jesus made them stand out even among the church. And they somehow now make the glorious company of the saints in light, a ragged procession from every nation and people and class, going more deeply into the heart of God. But for us, now, the most important thing that a saint does for us is to point us toward God. And so we slide the line between All Saints and All Souls, because for many of us, those who most powerfully pointed us toward God were those who were closest to us. My grandfather, Roy, may have been a saint. He was a guy who once went to dinner at a friend's house, loved the house, and by the end of the night had talked his friend into trading houses with him. They actually traded houses. I don't know whether my grandmother was consulted. And yet, his whole life, he used this persuasive power most to preach the gospel for no significant financial gain. He might have been a saint. He will never be canonized, except maybe in my heart. But his obscure life pointed me toward God as surely as that of Francis or Thomas or Paul or Jonathan Daniels or Thomas Merton. So we slide the line between official saints and our own beloveds, and this is entirely appropriate to do. Roy, my grandfather, I strongly suspect, is trying to talk Thomas Aquinas into trading halos with him as they together come to know and love God more and more. I'm using this ridiculous imagined conversation on purpose to remind us that the family of God is bigger than the Episcopal Church. It includes us and people very unlike us. It includes people who have never heard of the Book of Common Prayer, folks who have never sung from the hymnal 1982. The deciding characteristic of the saints is that they loved God so much that they never quite fit in a world that has always understood some variety of self-interest as the root of character and behavior. The saints, whether they are official or not, loved something, loved someone more than they loved themselves. They loved God until they couldn't help but be a little weird in the context of the world. The family of God, my friends, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, is a family of weirdos. And it is into this family that we are baptizing Cecilia and Michael. We, together with them, will renew our baptismal promises in a few moments. And make no mistake, these promises are not a vehicle for worldly success. They are a pattern for loving God as best as we know how. If we manage to keep them, they will make us a little bit odd. The only way to keep them is to be madly in love with the one who loved us enough to become one of us, to teach us to love, and to show us how much we are loved. We all make these promises along with Michael and Cecilia because we know that the promises are far too difficult for anyone to keep on their own. We promise to help them, and we hope that they will help us. Contrary to what we often think, it takes a community to sustain faithful weirdness with integrity. And we have one, not only each other, but that glorious ragged company of Roy and Paul, and your quirky uncle, and Mary, and Julian of Norwich, and all the saints in light. Amen.